Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Brown Park Podcast is brought to you by Grow Clinics. They're Australia's leading hair transplant clinics, and you can go to growclinics.com.au.
And we're on.
Hello.
G'day, mates.
We have a future champion on our show today.
This woman is an inspiration.
Her story is phenomenal. She should be dead.
She should be. The journey that she's been on is epic.
Yeah, and it's only been 2 years, and she looks set to go to the Paralympics this year. Her name is Alexa Leary, and she's our guest today on the Brown Park Podcast.
The Brown Park Podcast.
Question.
What do you got for me?
When are you going to send your daughter out to work full time?
Oh, great.
At what age?
What, as in when she's just going to get a job like Macca's or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as she's ready.
So my eldest has recently turned 13. Instantly went, I'm going to go and get a job, and I've just gone, shit, there goes my weekends.
What good? Well, for the drop off and pick up?
Drop offs, pick ups.
Well, yeah, but she can catch a bus now. So where does she want to work?
Like Boost.
Oh, yeah.
But the interesting thing about it is I've gone, okay, well, jump online, look it up, go and have a check, see what's needed, and then make an application and do whatever they say on there. And she goes, okay, but I don't want to do it without a friend.
Oh yeah, because life's wired like that, isn't it?
And so that's the conversation I've since had.
Right.
Gone, well, no, that's not how life works. You can't go and get a job with your bestie.
That's it.
Because you're not going to be rostered on with them. She goes, no, but then it's just the thought that we're both working there. And I'm like,
but this is where the growth is, children. Like, yeah, you have to go to a place where you don't know the people. Some of them are going to be pricks.
I'm trying to remember back to the Stone Ages when I first had my first job.
You got there on a horse and cart.
And I worked, my first job was Hungry Jack's.
Oh, was it? Nice.
And I was a burger flipper. And I didn't join with any friends. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah, see, I mean, I had a lawnmower around when I was a kid, but I went and got a job at Macca's, and half of Tweed Heads worked at the Coolangatta Macca's, so I knew people almost every shift.
Yeah, okay. I knew no one. And then I went and got a job at Franklin's.
Oh, good old Franklin's.
Franklin's,
yeah, yeah.
No Frills.
What'd you do there?
Oh, God. I set myself up.
What? I didn't see this coming.
No.
Were you a checkout chick?
No. I was one of the very first ever checkout chicks. Male checkout chicks.
Yeah, because they didn't used to put dudes on the counter.
They didn't put guys on the front counter. I was the only one in my Franklin's.
Oh.
I was the token testicles on the front counter.
The token testicles. Yeah. Now, look, I've never heard it phrased that way, but I like it.
Man, though, I experienced reversed sexism.
Oh, did you?
At the time, yeah.
No, yeah. Explain that.
Really? You're a guy on the front counter, are you? Really? How are you? How's your boyfriend?
Oh, you copped all that?
Well, I mean, back in the day.
Mm.
I was just like, wow. And then even to the point that the bosses were all women there.
Yeah.
You couldn't get away with it now, but I remember one of the old loves there was like, all right, come on, bitch, go and get your stuff.
Oh, okay, Karen.
I'm like, wow, okay.
Yep. Well, because even Macca's at the time, I wanted to be on the front counter because it was a way easier job than out the back flipping the burgers and making your fillet of fish and stuff, but they wouldn't put guys on the counter.
No.
It just wasn't done back
then.
Yeah,
it wasn't done at all. I wouldn't have put a shit like you on the front counter.
Well, no.
Anyway.
Look, completely valid, and maybe it wasn't just a sexist thing. Maybe they just didn't want me on the counter.
Alexa Leary. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to my dining room.
Love that for us.
Yeah. You should have seen it before we were here, before you got here. There was like, because it had been raining, we'd had all, I had all the washing
don't
out.
Say we. It's not like, sorry, we're a couple.
No, no, no. You don't live, you don't live here. But all my washing was out on the line here. So we, like, I've had to go through and clean up the whole place before you got here. And if there's a little dog that will be running around here, so just please excuse her.
If there's something licking your feet, that's not Christo. It's fine.
It's yeah, my dog Hallie. So, but thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
You've had a big year.
Yeah, very big one.
You've just come back from Manchester?
Yeah, Manchester.
Where you got a gold medal.
Yes, I did.
Yes. What was that for?
The 100 meter freestyle.
In your category?
Yeah.
And like, I was reading some of the reports that said you absolutely annihilated the competition.
Yeah, I tried my best. I was like, come on, Lex, whip something out. You got to go so hard. Surely bring home a gold. I kept telling myself that.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, you got to.
Did you know your times were going to be that good going into the event?
No, I didn't. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
The night before, I was in a room. They put me in a room by myself because I was so like, I don't talk to anyone. That's how I focus on the race.
Yep.
I don't, for a week, I just don't talk to anyone. I put my headphones in and I just go, I'm not going to talk, not going to communicate. I'm just going to get in my zone.
Good job.
And then, yeah, I did that and they put me in a room by myself and my coach had to come in at like 10 p.m. that night and make me a sleeping tea because I wasn't sleeping.
You were wired, yeah.
I was not sleeping.
What are you listening to in your headphones?
Oh, just banging music.
Good job.
I love it.
So it's not like positive affirmations going, you can do this, Lex, you can do this.
No.
It's just like tunes.
Yeah, because I tell myself that I go, nah, you can do it. You're going to win this. Fire. You're going to do it.
I find reading your story, that's kind of like your mantra for your entire life, isn't it, that you tell yourself you can get through it. So, like for those that don't know you, let's go back before the day that changed your life.
Mm.
What was young Alexa Leary like?
Oh, just wild. I was a wild child.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm ADHD, so I'm always on the go, 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 so I just didn't stop.
So tea.
There you go.
Well, I mean, at 45, I was diagnosed with ADHD, so I never really knew I had it until
I was five when I was diagnosed with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, half your life, because I wasted my whole life until I was 46. So there you go.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you take medication?
Yeah, some medication. Like right now, yeah.
Yeah, good job. I mean, I take it before the podcast especially because my mind still, even when we do a podcast, if I don't take the medication, then I'm like, bing, bing,
yeah,
bing,
it's doing
bing.
Everything and you're not meant to be doing everywhere.
So you were very sporty as a child anyway.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Born in 2001.
Yeah.
On the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Yamba.
Yeah, we moved for 7 years and then we moved to Noosa for 8 years. Yeah.
And you fell into triathlon.
Yes,
How does somebody? Okay, I can imagine. I can imagine doing one sport, and doing it well, but then doing three sports in one and nailing it. That would be hard.
Yep, it was, but it was worth it because I know with my ADHD, I want to do everything. So my parents were cyclists.
Oh, were they?
Still are.
Yep.
Yeah. They used to Tour de Cure and everything. My parents are still cyclists and stuff like that. And I don't know, since I was a little girl, I've always been like, I want to go do stuff. I want to do that. I want to do it with them.
Mm,
so I'd, nice. I would get in the morning bunch with them when I was only 10.
Stop.
I'd get in the bunch with them in Yamba. Yeah. I had to do everything, but I always made myself go, I want to do more than just that.
Yeah.
I want to do extra. So I had to do three sports in one.
Nice. Yeah.
So how far were you? Okay. So at the age of 10 and you were doing triathlons at that age?
Yeah. Yeah, even eight. I think I started them when I was like seven.
So how far do they make you run when you're seven and eight for each thing?
Oh, not far. I would say like a K.
Okay.
Or even 2K maybe.
And then
sometimes.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep. It did.
we've got kids in the other room. Probably need to bring them in to hear this because I know my daughter at 11 wouldn't be able to do that.
No. I wouldn't have been able to do that at 11.
Yeah.
Could you do it now?
I wouldn't be able to do that at 48 either, no, definitely not. So you were into triathlons and you were doing that as well as school and trying to fit it all in.
Yeah, I was.
How far had you gone in triathlons? Because I saw that you'd gotten it. Was it a silver?
Yeah, I was 19. It was like a little bit just for the accident.
Yeah.
It was, I sadly don't really remember much, but my dad, and I still got the medal and stuff. I went to Switzerland and I raced the world titles and I got second.
Far out.
But yeah, and then dad gave me the privilege. He goes, like, just before we left, he still tells me this. I don't have a memory, but he tells me that. He goes, if you get a medal, if you get like top three, I'll get put you in business class. And I did.
Did what? How old were you?
19.
Oh, stop it. That's always the goal. Have you been in business class since?
No. I haven't. Oh,
there you go.
I should though.
And do you remember business class?
No.
Oh, no. Boo.
That's not fair.
No, not fair at all. But I know, right?
I'm sure somebody
been
will
there,
make,
done that.
I'm so sure somebody will make that happen for you at some point.
Emirates, if you're listening, come on in.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, you might end up going to Paris, so you need to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you need to business class it over there. I think.
Oh, for sure. I need that.
It's how you've mentally got to prepare for it. Yes. You need the business class.
I need that.
So let's go to the date that changed your life forever. In what was it, July 2021?
Yeah.
You were competing in a triathlon. And I know you said you don't remember much about the day.
So on the day, I was doing a morning cycling ride.
Yep.
And it was just like apparently 100K in already. It was a big one.
100K.
Yeah, apparently something like that, maybe 80. I don't know. It was close to.
Mm.
And that's like the first day my dad tells me. It was the first day ever that I've made it this far with the elite bunch.
Oh.
Like the first day, apparently I hopped off my bike.
Yeah.
I put my beanie was on my head, so I had to put it in my back pocket.
Yeah.
I messaged my dad and I told him I've made it. I've made it 80K with the bunch so far. And this is like the top grade bunch. So it was good that I did that.
Yeah.
And then I said like a little bit more to go. And then I put the phone back in my bag and like in my pocket. And yeah, I went off and then the big accident happened.
So you clipped somebody's wheel.
Yeah. So obviously we're going like 70 or 75 kilometers down a hill. It was really quick. It was like a steep hill, like a berry.
Yeah.
And the bunch is all going hard as. Mm. And apparently I suck because that I'm ADHD. Of course I suck up on people's wheels.
Yeah, that's it. You're not like, going to sit back. That's
of
it.
Course. My dad does the same thing. Yeah. Like, apparently I must have sucked up on someone's back of their wheel.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've clipped it. And then boom, I hit on the right first and then my helmet flung off.
Oh.
And I went bam on my head on the left. Yeah. I really don't remember.
Yeah.
So the helmet came up. I was going to say, because if you were wearing a helmet, wouldn't that have helped? But far out.
No, it flung off. And yeah, I still have the helmet actually in this little thing I made of the helmet to say like it's something special to me.
Yeah,
for how far I've been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the right has all the damage, but my left, it flung off, has no. And that's all. A lot of damage
how
in my brain.
How damaged is the right hand side of it? Is it?
Yeah, quite damaged, but the left has nothing because it flung off and my left side of my head took.
So the damage that was on the right of the helmet was essentially then what was transferred to your head without the helmet. Far out.
So, yeah.
Yep.
What I live with now.
I was reading that luck was really on your side on that day.
Yeah.
And by that I mean there was somebody that saw it happen had the foresight to tell one of the cyclists to get to the top of the hill to get reception.
Mm.
Yeah.
There was a doctor that was was watching.
Yes, that's the weirdest thing ever. On the other side of the road, so when I'm going down, there was a doctor on the other side going up and he saw it.
What, cycling or just?
Cycling.
Far out.
So I was cycling down and the doctor was actually riding up the hill
and
apparently he saw my fall and everything and he had to put me in a breathing position because my lung collapsed.
Yeah.
So he had to put me in like a breathing position and stuff like that. And then there was a car coming down. They copped up, like they went up to the hill and they tried to get someone and they got the car to come down and then take them 10 kilometers out to call the ambulance
for
reception. Yeah. And weirdest thing ever, the ambulance people were only just around the corner. They were doing another, not helping anyone. They were just around the corner.
What?
So they came to me quite quick, yeah.
Yeah, and also because you'd recently messaged your dad, they sort of had a rough idea of where you would be as well, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But my dad was cycling that day as well.
Yeah.
But he was way behind. He didn't see.
So he left him for dusk.
Yeah, see you later. But, yeah, so that's the way it worked. But I don't know, dad was like a fair chunk behind, but he stopped at another little place and then I know he came down when I had left the ambulance, had to get me in.
Far out.
Yeah.
And you don't remember, obviously, you don't remember anything. So do you have memories before?
So from the accident, they say, because I did upset my brain very badly.
Mm.
So, yeah, I have a TBI.
TBI is?
A traumatic brain injury.
Okay.
So, like, I have a fake bone and a shunt in my head.
Really?
Yeah. I go off at the airport sometimes and I'm like, gosh, I don't have drugs. I don't have animals. I just got a cool head.
Because you've just got a head of steel.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that, what else was I saying?
Where were we? Just what?
That your dad, you left your dad behind.
You left your dad behind and dust. You don't remember anything before.
Oh, no. So they say from like the accident, so with TBI, I slaughtered my brain very bad. I've got one of the worst TBIs in Australia.
All right.
But yeah, so that's annoying. But they said, every day's a hard day, but it's all right. So they say from the day of the accident, so the 17th of July, 17th of July, they said, 3 to 4 years prior, Alexa has no memory.
Really?
I don't.
Okay. Far out.
I really don't. Some of the people that came in to visit me, I only met them a year before the accident. No idea who they were. Yeah. I still don't. I've got things on my phone. I'm like, who's this person?
Far out.
But I would consider something like the phone, you would have all these memories. Yep. You'd see yourself and go, well, at least I did this and I did that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there. I can't fathom that. No. Yeah.
I don't remember getting second in the world titles. I don't remember.
And people you met and things like that, nothing, gone. Crazy.
No idea.
And how's your memory after it? So it's fine then?
We made this like little book. So every day I'd print off what I did and it would go into my book.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got like lots of little books. Or started last year, I got out of the hospital.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was doing that to remind myself. I would go printing off everything I did. I'd tell my mum, what did I do? They'd tell me I'd print off all these little photos that I did in the day, and that's how I would know. Yeah.
I find it phenomenal that this was only just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Look how far you've come, man. Wow. Holy crap.
Holy hell.
Brown Park.
Grow Clinics are proud to support the Brown Park podcast, and if you're feeling like your hairline's doing a disappearing act faster than Houdini at a birthday party, or maybe you're looking more like a bowling ball than a babe magnet, fear not, our follicular friends. Grow Clinics is here to give your head the green thumb it deserves. We're not talking about magic beans, but they'll have those little hair soldiers marching across your scalp like a victory parade. Grow Clinics uses cutting-edge technology so advanced it'll make your barber cry tears of envy. Plus, it's completely pain-free, and unlike that time you tried to dye your hair blonde with lemon juice. Admit it, you've done it. So stop worrying about your dome and start strutting your stuff with Grow Clinics. They'll give you the main event, not just a comb-over comeback. Grow Clinics, grow your confidence, grow your hair, and don't wait. Call them today and check out their website at growclinics.com.au and tell them that Brown Park sent you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Brown Podcast.
Reading your dad's story, or reading what your dad recalls of it, was quite emotional, because he was like, he, you know, you can see that he was crying a lot, and he said he was crying for like 2 months or something straight.
Yeah.
Well, imagine seeing your daughter in that
state. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That'd be hectic.
Mm. But they had to say goodbye. Like you were literally called a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 8 times they had to come and say
goodbye? Yeah. So because my lung collapsed. Mm. So my right side had all the tubes, and I have like a still slash on the side of here, because like they had to put lots of things in because I really wasn't really breathing at all.
Yeah.
So Well, I was in ICU for a month.
Yep.
And they, I got a big stitch. They didn't stitch me for 2 weeks.
Really?
Because they said to my parents that I'm not going to be here anymore. But I know in the second, in the first week, I had all these, I still had all these tubes regardless, even when I was at the ambulance, like when I, at the, in the ambulance and stuff, they all had to put this stuff for me to breathe.
Far out.
I had the tubes in, I think, yeah. And then all of a sudden they said to my mom, dad, everyone, like they took my tubes out and I didn't breathe.
Far out.
So they, everyone had to come in and say goodbye to me because they put all the tubes back in to say that this is like, I'm gone, because the next day they're going to turn my she'd like take my tubes out and I'm not, because I wasn't breathing.
Were you in a coma then, or
yeah,
were you?
Yeah, I was in a coma.
Yeah.
And then so the next day everyone already had to say goodbye to me and it was really sad.
Far out.
It was only 2 weeks in ICU and they all said goodbye. Then the next day they took all the tubes out and I went and I breathed.
Far out.
So that's why they say like miracle.
A miracle.
Yeah. And they stitched my knee.
Yeah.
And my arm.
Well, okay, now we can fix it.
Yeah, yeah, it's fixed. I'm fixable.
The thing that I find fascinating is that there were so many moments in your life where they basically said, no, this is it. Say goodbye. No, you're never going to walk again.
So they said that to you. They said you're never
going to do any of this again.
They said that I will never, ever walk, talk again. And like Sally say, in the hospital, I really couldn't. I couldn't even speak English. I was like, I really couldn't. There's videos I look back on through and I'm like, whoa, I've come so far. And the fact that months I had to learn how to walk. Like, yeah, it's hard.
Well, what do they mean? Were they telling you that or your parents that?
My parents, because I couldn't formally talk. I was, because I got a TBI, so traumatic brain injury. It was due because my helmet flung off that I smacked my head quite very hard. The fact that, yes, it made me not know any of this. I was out of it, in a coma for months, so I really didn't know.
So you want to know why the doctors actually say that. I mean, shouldn't they give the parents hope or something like, you know?
I was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they said that I'm someone that's had one of the worst TBIs in Australia, that I'm not going to live for how bad of the accident I've had.
Yeah.
But I fought so hard, I'm living.
So what do you remember about being in hospital? Do you remember anything about that at all? Nothing at all.
But the weirdest thing is, because in our brains, so my I destroyed my whole brain, but mainly the left, which makes it goes opposite and makes my right physically damaged.
Right.
So that's why I'm used to be right-handed. Oh. I'm left-handed now.
Oh, yeah.
My left does everything. Sometimes when I am out walking, doing things, I'll have to just stop for a little bit to get this – to wake up.
How do you find that with swimming?
Yeah, so after I race, I cannot move for a while.
Yeah,
I'm just like, come on, wake up. Come on, buddy. No.
Pour some coffee on it or something.
Some people have to just pick me up and then I hop. But then I have to sit on this thing and just to wake the right
arm. Is that the legs? Legs as well?
Yeah, both. The whole thing goes out. Yeah.
Far out.
There must be some sort of incredible life force inside of you that wants to succeed and wants to make something of themselves, to be able to go through what you've been through.
Yeah.
And particularly when, like, you know, there's stories of you on the news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's footage of you learning how to walk again. What was that like?
Yeah, well, when I look at it, I'm like, whoa, because, like, I don't remember RBWH, Royal Brisbane Hospital. I don't actually formally remember living there for months. And I don't remember watching myself. Like, I have to watch the videos because I don't remember. I really couldn't walk. It was like a lot of the – I was in a wheelchair for months. And
is there a sense of pride in yourself for what you've done?
Yeah, I look at myself. Should be. Yeah, I look at myself and I go, well, Lex, look how far you've actually come.
Well, makes you wonder, I mean, to just show – I mean, this is how far you've come in this short period of time. Yeah. So how far are you going to go when you give yourself 5, 10, 20 years?
Next year in Paris, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
So what's the warm-up to Paris? Like, what's your regime now? Because you're obviously in training for Paris.
Yeah.
When did you get to that point where you go, where you've gotten out of the hospital and you've gone, you know what?
Yeah.
I've learned to walk. I'm talking again. Let's go for it. What are we going to do?
Yeah. So when I got out of the hospital, I also not only lived in the hospital, I lived in a special brain home in Beru.
Yep.
It's in Brisbane.
Yep.
So I lived in RBWH for like 5 months and then I lived in Beru for like 2 months. And that was – so that's That's for very damaged brains.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you've upset your brain very badly and you've just – I restarted a new life basically.
Yeah.
I had to relearn how to – I still do every day. Like I have to somewhat remember things like when to brush my teeth, wash my hair. Mm-hmm. I've got to actually inform that in my head. Yeah. So that's when I was there. I had to do that all again, walking as well. So that's a big thing. But all through that, the brain doctors were like, we got to start getting my right side to move with me.
Yeah.
So when I was in, I don't know, my dad, when I was in ICU,
yep.
My dad got a, weirdly enough to tell you guys this, just it just comes to my head.
Yeah.
My dad, yeah, got this person, like a fortune teller, to talk to me when I was in ICU. And she said that in my brain that I want to walk and I want to talk.
Goosebumps.
And I want to go, I want to swim. I want to go to the Paralympics. I said that to her when I was in, and when I'm knocked out. She said that. Apparently I said that to my parents.
You actually spoke it to her?
No. It's in my head. It's in my brain. I was in the ICU.
Mm.
She can read shit. There's some really cool people out there that do that. And she did. And I never got told about this halfway through last year and I was already swimming.
Yeah.
But in a triathlon, I'll tell you this one. My best leg was the swim.
Yeah. Okay. You're the best a good leg swimmer. Swimmer. Okay.
Yes.
You smash them then.
I went to nationals when I was a little girl. Swimming is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It was just not.
That's where you build your gap, right?
Yeah.
So when did you decide that this, I'm going to get back in the pool, I'm going to do this, I'm right now?
Mm-hmm. Started last year. So Noosa, so I was still in Pomona, I had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
So I was always there every single day, rehab and all that stuff. Like I'm still in rehab and I will be for many years.
Yeah.
But I wanted to swim every day. I was just like after rehab.
Give you purpose too to get out of bed.
But we had to see my right side wasn't exactly working with me, but a little bit.
Mm.
Like mum was watching it saying you're so with it. Yep. I haven't lost anything. I'm with it. But yeah.
Mm. So is it mean you will your right keep getting stronger as you keep progressing? Yeah.
It will take a bit of time because I know that I have the damage in my brain for life. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's just life's very different.
Mm.
But so I know that my right's not always gonna be the best.
Mm.
I'm not right-handed. I'm left-handed now. So it's like a bit, it's never going
to
be the same.
Well, I guess moving, being right-handed and now being left-handed, I mean, if you can learn to walk, you can sure as hell learn to write with your left hand or do whatever you need to.
Yeah, I actually really can. It's actually really good. It's semi is good. It's okay.
Even brushing your teeth as a right-handed
person. I do it with my left.
Yeah.
And I can, I'm sometimes because I, rehab is to try and get my, they've got this little Play-Doh I have to play with to get my right side to move, my right hand. So we got to do that. And I sometimes brush my teeth with my left and my right. My right does it sometimes. It's depending how my brain's feeling in the day.
And you're not thinking, or you do just whatever you pick it up with and it just.
Yeah, it's just whatever my brain is at the day, however it's feeling.
Yeah, okay, good. Because,
that's because a part of my TBI, I upset my behavior and emotions. So I get sad, happy, angry in a split out of a minute or even – in a day, I just can't really, sadly, I did do a lot of damage. So, my behavior is but my behavior is very high.
Yeah.
So, So I'd wake up. Maybe I want to brush my teeth with my left. Maybe I want to do it with my right.
Yeah.
It's depending how my right side's going to be feeling in my brain.
I don't want to be crass, but I would find wiping the hardest. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not even going there with you on this one.
I don't want to be crass, but that was the first thing. I was like, oh, my God, you literally have to learn everything again but with your left hand.
Yes, you would. Thank you for that. Thank you for that,
visual.
That's what I'm looking for. Far out. So how were your mum and dad through it? I mean, how were they through that period? Because obviously as, fathers of girls, how'd they hold up?
Yeah, well, my dad's my best friend, so.
So good. Yeah.
And my mama. Yeah. They literally, they paid, no, not paid, they actually went next door. So Royal Brisbane Hospital I lived at, they got the resort right next door. Dad booked a place for them to live at.
That's cool.
Awesome.
For the whole time because they were like, I've got to keep coming over to me. But my brothers were in grade 12 and 10 and I was in hospital.
Yeah.
So it was very hard.
Yeah.
So they were graduating. Yeah. One was graduating.
Yep. Yeah. And I was in hospital
and
it was halfway through the year. So it was towards the end of the year. I was still in hospital. So my parents had to literally, I know what they did because my brothers were a mess.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't well. But what happened is they had to get people from all over Noosa to give them their food, always because my brothers don't have mum and dad with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always came to the hospital to see me.
Yeah.
There's photos. That's cool, yeah.
That's so really cool. It's great when a community comes together to help help a family
well,
like that.
Well, that leads into the Move for Lex.
Yeah.
Because that really took off.
Yeah.
Because people got behind your story.
Yeah.
So what is Move for Lex? It was originally people just donating to help you out, but now it's become a movement of its own.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a donation. It was actually just a thing to write, Move for Lex, Move for me, because I really, really couldn't.
Yeah.
For like months, I really couldn't move. I couldn't walk and I couldn't talk. So what they did was my sisters started it. Actually, yeah, my sisters started it, and along with my parents as well, because they were like, let's get people moving for those who can't really, and move for me.
Yeah.
And then they started doing a funding for towards the hospital, RBWH. And we raised a lot of money, $250,000 for the hospital. Move for Lex raised it.
Yep.
Because, it's a big thing.
And what is Move for Lex now? What do you do with it?
It's still there. It's still fundraising, still there and stuff. But there's another little thing that I made for the hospital, because I'm always on the news and I got up and I spoke something, which is very true. So when the accident happened, my family, they have nowhere to stay, nothing. They have no support. They don't have anything. So we started this new thing, me and my dad, Flex for Lex, and that is where we've done a lot of more fundraising. Yes, we did more for parents and for people in general when they have a sick kid and they've got nowhere.
For accommodation.
They've got.
Well, I guess you have for young kids, you have like the Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
That's for the little ones, but maybe not for older kids.
No,
well, because it's a financial burden on the family.
It is, because like living in Roy was in hospital, it's like, where are they going to get accommodation and everything? So that's what we did. And I got up and spoke about it on the news, and my dad did too. And it's been this new thing, and there's a lot of money going towards it. So whenever they've got nowhere, they go straight to RBWH, the funding of it all.
Yeah.
They give them the money for their.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Brown
Pop.
We interrupt this podcast to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, Grow Clinics. Now, if you're tired of fighting the losing battle of hair loss, Grow Clinics offers advanced, results-driven hair transplant solutions with proven effectiveness. Their minimally invasive procedures utilize the latest techniques to transplant healthy hair follicles from donor areas to the thinning or balding areas. This means natural, permanent hair growth, not quick fixes or gimmicks. Now, what can you expect, I hear you ask? Well, their experienced surgeons boast a 95% success rate in hair transplant procedures, ensuring visible, long-lasting results. Most procedures are completed in a single day with minimal discomfort, and it's a super quick recovery time. They meticulously plan and execute transplants to achieve a natural hairline and hair density that blends seamlessly with your existing hair, and every patient receives a tailor-made treatment plan based on their unique needs and goals. So take control of your hair loss today. Visit their website at growclinics.com.au to book a free consultation and tell them Brown Park sent ya.
In a world that's often defined by its shadows, I'm here to shine a light on the power of redemption and resilience of the human spirit. I'm Russell Manser. Welcome to The Stick-Up. My journey is one of stark contrast, from a past stained with bank robberies, prison wars, to the present, where I openly explore the depths of trauma, survival, transformation, and hope.
How did you take that break? Like when someone says your role model is not here no more, how did you take that?
It's just a moment that I don't talk about that, but it impacts me greatly, and it will forever.
Join me each week as I engage with guests who have navigated the darkest corners of their own lives.
My other sister, who was sitting on the floor, her back snapped up. And I went, oh, my God, it's happened to her too.
Subscribe now to The Stick Up with me, Russell Manser, and embark on a journey that goes beyond the surface.
If I look at my career, I never want to win the grand final. I want to be in the top four or the top six for my whole career, you know.
You want to keep the hunger?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the hunger. Search The Stick Up on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, while we've got your attention,
listen up.
We just want to ask a quick favor. If you could go to your podcast provider, wherever you're listening to this, and write a lovely review, give it a rating, do whatever you can, we would be most appreciative.
Or even at the very least, just hit that little subscribe button so then the episodes, when we release them, come up in your feed.
Exactly. That is all. Back to the show.
As you were.
Thank you.
The Brown Pop Podcast.
Were your parents working at what?
My dad, yeah.
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 Imagine that as a father having to
keep
up your job and then having your daughter, you know, gravely sick.
Yeah.
To navigate that would be so hard. So, you know, obviously props to them for
my dad,
managing that.
Yeah, my dad just like He somewhat kept, not really. They stopped working completely, really.
Yeah.
They didn't work at all.
What made you keep going? Was there a little voice inside your head that just sort of kept going, I've got to do this. Yeah. I've got to get up.
Screw this. I'm going to keep going.
I'm not going to let this beat me.
Yeah, like dead set. I got so much motivation, so much push, like drive.
Yeah.
I'm a person, when you want it, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Like that's what I do. Like I'm so much for that. And I'm a person, like I've got like a never die attitude. I'm like, yeah, I want
clearly.
It. Get it.
Yeah.
Get
clearly. It. Yeah. Beat it eight times.
Like I've got to. Yes, exactly. So I'm just so driven for things.
But that's where the positive of an ADHD brain comes into play too, because we get fixated on something and we just continue to drive forward for it. Because I saw my psychiatrist a while back when I got diagnosed, and he said, don't be focused on everything that ADHD has taken away from you. Focus on the things that it has given you, because it actually does serve a purpose.
It does.
In your life. So it's
so much drive.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And that's really definitely would have helped.
Mm.
Do you find that when you're not on the medication, it's just like ping, ping, ping,
it's different.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing everything in a hot minute. And like, I have support workers with me.
Yeah.
And they help me a lot of the time. Like, it's really great.
Yeah.
They're like awesome. But like, what is,
we have to be sitting right here.
But like, sometimes, he's got to be onto it when I'm having my meds. Like, Lex, take your Dexies now.
Yeah.
Medication.
Well, yeah, because I mean, even me, sometimes I'll take them and 5 minutes later, I'm like, have I taken them?
Yeah, you don't actually formally remember you've taken them.
Yeah.
I don't have memory anyways, but I destroyed that one too. So there you go.
you got the double sword. But I mean, like, because when we went to Bali a year and a half ago, and I didn't take my medication with me.
Because he was frightened of...
Well, because that's, I mean, I didn't have the letter, because if you travel to Indonesia, like it was, you know, considered narcotics or whatever.
Yeah.
So I left him at home. Worst thing I did, I would have preferred to have a prison sentence and than not have him, because my wife, I mean, the reason that I jumped on him, because my marriage is getting affected, because I was never focusing. And
you're just doing everything. Never present. Confused and,
so then we get to Bali, I'm not on my medication, and I think that was a true validation that medication works and you need to be on it, because I was...
Because he'd just sit there and go, all right, we're going to the beach for some Long Island iced teas. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
And
like, you're gone.
The kids are like sitting there.
Like, what are we doing?
And the wives are like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I've come back with 100 Rolexes.
100 fake Rolexes.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your regime every day, because we were talking about this before we got on the show. And you are going hardcore for Paris.
Mm-hmm.
What is your daily regime? What are you doing now to make sure that you are going to make that team?
Oh, like I know, like it's really hard for me at times, because I want to go to the Paralympics, because I am in a classification of S9. Mm-hmm. So S1 to S10 is physical damage. Yep. I am not the best as S10. I'm S9. Because my right side really doesn't work with me, like against me sometimes. And then it's a bit like, and I'm like, come on, buddy, let's work. Let's do it. But I can't really do any other strokes but freestyle.
Yep.
But that's all right.
So when you wake up in the morning, you're going to the pool?
Oh, yeah. So I wake up and I literally do my brain exercise.
Does Jet wake you up, or you just
no,
there's an alarm?
No, I just have my own place and with a roommate.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
And yeah,
okay.
I just wake up and I go to training.
Yeah,
and I do a brain exercise.
Can I ask what the brain exercise is?
Yeah, so I do this brain exercise, and I also go to Charlie Teo. Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
I go to him lot of the time.
He's brain surgeon.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the country's best.
Okay.
Yeah, he shoots like my brain,
mm-hmm.
and it actually has repaired me. Like it's actually, he said it will take 8 to 10 years. For me to be somewhat better, but I'm never going to be fully healed.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But what happens is it's making me less, so my behavior less, like high.
Yeah.
It's giving it lower.
Just pulling it down a bit.
It's getting lower, which is good. So
get up, do your brain exercises.
Yeah, brain exercises.
So what is a brain exercise? What is it?
Cameron gives me my brain exercises. Just put this thing on my head and I watch this person run then slow-mo. It's actually this medical
thing. So it's a visual.
Yeah, and... it's just this little thing that goes around my head and I just watch it, and it's like clocking. It's got things in it that's clocking my brain to the screen, and making me.
Brain activities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then you jump in the pool?
Yep. I get to the pool after my brain exercises and I – usually train in the mornings with John.
And how far are you swimming in the
A lot. Sometimes it's like 6 in the morning, and then, or not even in the morning. Sometimes it'll be like, I'd say 4 a.m, 6 p.m.
So you swim for a couple of hours, then obviously diet and other exercises and things like that. Oh my God. So
diet's hard for me because I love my bubble tea, so I can't help myself.
That's all the craze too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
I've never had one. Never had it. Never had a bubble tea. Really?
Yep, do it.
What are those things in it?
They're just pearls.
They're pearls. Yeah.
Pearls of what? What are they, just like starch,
I think,
or something?
Brown sugar.
And so the food wise, you have to, is that playing a big part of what you have to do at the moment?
Yeah. So
apart from bubble tea.
Because like, yeah, the thing is they're trying to get me a new like dietitian, so a person for like my food. Mm-hmm. I already have one because I'm in the Australian team. So like, yeah, it all goes through to that and stuff like that, that they can provide that for me.
Yeah.
So that works. But yeah, so I just think that I need to be back on like not eating
crap,
lots of junk things.
Yeah.
Like pull myself like, no, Lex, no, I want it. No.
See, that'd be tough.
It's really hard when it's so good.
see, the gym that I go to is, well, you know, my wife will beg to differ because I don't go that often anymore. Need to go more, but there's a KFC right at the front of my gym.
Okay,
and every
KFC's
time
the best thing ever.
I know, right? So you
Hot
come out of the
chicken.
Gym and it's all I can smell. It's like, oh my God, okay, let's just go over there for a little bit. Just a little nibble. I've worked it. Work for it.
Popcorn chicken's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's the best.
Oh my God, not gonna lie. I love that.
Popcorn, chicken and bubble tea. All right, we're done.
Yeah, the best thing. They're winners.
See, and look where you are because of this.
Yeah.
So when do you find out about Paris?
Oh, so I go through classifications.
Yep.
And then they'll give me the classification and then I just have to swim a time that will give me the approval to go.
Now, having said that, you did Manchester where you absolutely blitzed the competition.
Yeah, I did a pretty good time. So, yeah.
So Paris should be a fairly good thing.
Oh, I hope so. I'm hoping that I go. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wait.
How
and
do
see.
You feel about it?
Oh, awesome.
Well, I mean, clearly
I would love that.
You're going to get there. Clearly, you're so driven. Well, oh, yeah, for sure.
So good crepes. Yeah. Oh crepes. My goodness.
You're going there for the food, not for the Olympics, right?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Have you ever been to Paris before?
Yeah, before we went to Manchester, we were away for a month.
Yep.
We lived in France for 3 weeks first, and that's where we do all our prepping, like our training and a gym. We got a gym there and everything, but on our days off, which is good occasionally, we went to the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, good.
Went to the church.
I was going to say, you're too busy training to not even.
Yeah, no, when we got a free moment, we're allowed to. There's a pool there, so we got to tan and stuff
Excellent.
Like that.
Good
so
stuff.
We still, we just, how, but we've got to be our focus on the swim, swim, swim.
How beautiful is Paris?
Oh, so nice.
And what I want to ask, I mean, we touch on it off air, but financially, with somebody in your position, you're training, do you have a full-time job, or your full-time job is
swimming? Yeah. And also due to like the damage in my brain, like the neuro doctors were like saying that like it's not capable of me getting a job or having a job because I'm formally still learning life things.
For sure, yeah.
Like, and how to, because I upset my brain, so I've got a behavior coach, someone to teach me how to, I don't know, like less anger, less sadness and all those little things I upset my brain so I'm just learning different ways of how to communicate to others and how to speak in a better way.
Because imagine, I mean, especially if you get angry or whatever, then there'd be zero control.
I put like holes in the wall. Like I would go put holes in the wall and stuff like that. I just, my anger is just, I can't control it. But sometimes it's okay. But seeing as I'm getting better daily,
it's
a lot better. And the sadness as well.
Yeah. That'd be tough.
I'm very, very. I was on depression meds last year and stuff like that. Like, I just upset my brain a bit.
Are you
really bad?
Are you hard on yourself anymore, or are you proud of what you're achieving?
I am pretty hard on myself.
Yeah.
That was the number one thing I just wanted to say. So, start of this year, I started with my behavior coach. And she asked me, what are the things that you love about yourself, Lex? And I said, nothing.
Oh.
I don't like myself. I hate myself. And she goes, what? She goes, you know what we need to start doing? You need to start writing a quote on your wall every day in the end. You need to do that. And you need to keep looking at it every day. So every single day I wake up, I put a quote on my wall. And I, at the end of it, I put Lex because it's directed at me.
Yeah.
Because the more I learn to love myself, the more I'm going to love others around me, my family. So to stop the anger, stop being
It's interesting that you don't love yourself when you're achieving such great things.
You should
it's hard because I restarted a new life. I used triathlon. I only just got my license, by the way, guys.
Oh, congratulations.
Only just got my license.
Hey.
two and a half years. But
that's very cool, though.
So you had to do the test again and go through the whole.
I back of my L's all last year.
Jesus, yeah, I don't reckon I'd pass it
20.
Now.
Yeah. I was only 20. But yeah, only in Noosa. That was the only allowable thing. And yeah, it took a long time. I had to do this test on the iPad all the time. It's just the brain. So yeah. It's like that. But yeah, and then I finally got it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, finally got it.
Got some independence back in that space. Yeah, that'd be epic.
Yeah, so good.
You should be incredibly proud of yourself.
I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I am.
I mean, be easy. Go easy on yourself. I mean, it's.
Yeah, like, no, I'm a bit hard easy. On myself. Yeah, I'll tell you that it. One. I'm I mean, a bit hard.
And there's not many athletes that aren't because yeah, it takes a certain motivation to get to the point that you're at. But with it, if you look at where you were 2 years ago to where you are now, there should be an immense sense of pride of what you've achieved and what you're achieving. But also, not only that, but what you're doing for people that have followed your story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're truly an inspiration to young women particularly, but also to people that have been in your situation that can overcome what should have killed you and didn't, and you are living proof of it.
Yeah.
Even parents that have children or anyone that have had or suffered a TBI, seeing your story would give them so much hope that we can get through this. Look at what Alexa's done. Let's just keep on this path, because it'd be easy to give up and throw your hands in the air and just fall in a heap.
It would be, but no, you've got to have that in your head that you've got this. You've got to say, I've got this, Lex, come on. Yep. I had to keep telling myself that.
That's so
and
good.
You have. Alexa Leary, where can we follow you? You've got your socials.
Yeah.
Which is just your name, Alexa Leary.
Yeah, and then there's Move for Lex, because when I look at Move for Lex, I go, like, you move for those who can't.
And surely your life has got to be a movie at some point.
Yeah, I reckon.
And a book.
Yeah.
It's got to be something.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, there's been some offers, but yeah, I think so, something like that. Absolutely. Maybe.
You should.
We'll wait and see.
Well, no, excellent. And don't forget Flex for Lex, the other one.
Yeah.
So there's that one too, helping families.
We'll put all of that in the show notes of the podcast.
Yeah.
And good luck in getting gold in Paris.
Oh, I can't wait. Like, surely I take more than just one.
Don't
worry, you'll be fine.
Because my 50 in the hunt, my 50 at Manchester was silver. I was like, come on, Lex.
Come on. You failed miserably. What the hell?
Silver medal? I was like, every time I go to show people, just my gold. Oh, left. See you later.
Silver. First loser.
Sorry,
no way.
Like, who are you?
Alexa Leary, thank you very much for joining us on the show and giving us your time today.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.
The Brown Podcast.
Why are you happy?
Because I don't want to be sad.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.